Again, Parshas Vayera. Vayera love Hashem be'elonim Amri bu Yosef pesachol kechol mayom. Hashem appeared to him in the trees of Mamre. He sat at the opening of the tent as it was warm during the day. So we're not going to go into the Ramban and the Rambam about the dream and everything like that. We're not even going to go into it. Let's not even bother with it. It's a very strange opinion. We got to understand it, and it's too hard to understand right now. The basic idea is like this. What was Hashem appearing to him for? Meaning, you can't say that this is the Malachim, because the Malachim appear in the next passage. Vayisa ena vayar. He lifted up his eyes and he saw v'inei shlosha anashim nitzav in the love. He saw three men on him, and those were the Malachim. That we understand. So what was Hashem appearing to him in the beginning for? Meaning, Vayera Yilav Hashem Be'elon Emamre. Hashem appeared to him in Elon Emamre. To do what? What was he doing? And then all of a sudden, these three Malachim come, and it's done. So Rashi says that he's basically doing bigger cholim, that he's visiting the sick. I don't know if God has ever visited you while you were sick. That's got to be an awesome visit. That's got to be you sitting in a hospital, and it's like, God, I never thought you'd come. I thought you were too busy. But somehow...
That's probably when you're delirious.
So apparently it does happen quite a bit. But it seems a little strange. But basically the idea is like this. Vayera tells us the difference between an Arul and a Baal Bris. Somebody who never had a Bris meal in his life to somebody who finally got a Bris. The difference is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu realizes there's a lot more that I can do with this person. Vayera Lav Hashem, Vayera is the Lashon of Raze. It's the same gematria, Vav and Aleph go together to become a Zion. There's Resh and a Yud. It's Raze Ola. What he taught him, at that point, he came down to him and started teaching to him the secrets behind the world. All the Kabbalah that we have today, that we don't know, of course, that we hear so much about from Adana, all that Kabbalah was given over to Avraham Avinu right at that moment. It was all given over to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going through Sodas HaTorah, the greatest Sodas that were out there. It was Chol Hayom. It was so hot in there. He's burning with fire. It's like Malachim all around him. The fire is burning around him because he had all these secrets of the Torah right there in front of him. And he's learning them all up. That's what was going on over here. Of course, it was a Pashup Shad. There was a sun in the sky and everything. But he's sitting there and he's learning up all these Megala, all the Sodas HaTorah. Elav, Dafka to him. And Hashem was telling him, you want to know all the secrets of the Torah? I can tell you everything. And he was telling him everything over here. That Memela, that automatically became his Beaker Kolin. He was healed. He was healed pretty darn well. When you're learning all these secrets, it totally brought him out of this world. He didn't even think about this world anymore. He was totally in a different plane. He couldn't think about pain. There was no pain to speak of. All these things of, wow, there is unbelievable stuff. You're telling me that this is because of that and this. And he got all these crazy secrets. He realized all of a sudden, this is what's going on over here. At that point, he was able to separate himself from the physical, take away his pain and everything like that, forget totally where he was, and that was the Beaker Cholim. The exact same thing happened to Yosef. When Yosef was put in jail, when he was Shomer Bris HaKodesh, he wasn't with Eishes Potiphar, and he saved his bris. He gave himself a bris all over again. Note, Yosef HaTzadik never had a bris. He had a tuffa, but he never had a bris. He was born with a bris. Hatuffa is when you're born with a bris meal already, they just take a little blood out, but they don't do the actual bris itself, because there's nothing to do. He was born with a bris meal, he never had the bris. His bris was to be Shomer HaBris HaKodesh, to not have that bris be with something else, well, somebody who's not Roy for it to be with. When Yosef did that, he was immediately Roy for the same Raze Olam that Avram got. He was brought down into the jail, and in that jail he learned, we know, the 70 languages with the Malach. That's not the only thing he learned. He learned everything there was to know. The Malachim taught him there every night when he was down there, and he learned everything there was to know, all the Sodas HaTorah, all the different Kabbalahs out there. He got everything when he was sitting inside, all because he had just gotten the bris milah. Same thing happened with Avram Avinu. Now you can understand the Chassam Sofer's question. The Chassam Sofer asks the question and says, you're in the midst of a nevuah. How in the world do you see three people walking by you? I don't know if anybody here has had a nevuah before. And if you have, don't raise your hand. Just, you know, keep it to yourselves. Keep it to yourselves. But when you're having a nevuah, you're not in the physical world. You're not here. There's no way you can see what's going on in the physical world. Especially if Avraham Avinu was being told all the sodos of the Torah. You think the last thing on his mind is, I wonder if there are any guests coming. The last thing. Don't worry about that, Avram. You're learning about all the reasons behind the entire world. What do you need to know about this for? Forget about everything else. This is what you need to know right now. For that, such an unbelievable thing. Avram Avinu was able to lift himself out from the conversation with God and be like, do I see somebody out there? He's able to pull himself out. Says the Chassam Sofer as a kasha. He says, Sarachin at the end. He said, I have no idea how this could possibly be. How in the world was he able to see three people in the midst of nevuah with Hashem? How could it possibly be? It's just the most unbelievable thing you can ever imagine. The Moshe of Zakenim, though, Moshe of Zakenim is a Baal Tosfos. He answers the Chassam Sofer 400 years before the Chassam Sofer. ever thought of the kasha. He answered the question. He says, the whole test was just that. The whole test was, Avraham Avinu was given a test. I'm going to be giving you everything you could ever want. I'm going to be with you. The Shekhinah is going to be with him. He's going to be told every single secret, every question you've ever had. You have questions. I'll answer them all. I'll answer them all. That's what Hashem was doing. Are you going to pay attention to the physical world and look for people that need help? I'm going to send you people that need help. Are you going to see it or are you not going to see it? If he didn't see it, then he's not a machnas oreach. He did not pass the test. He did not bring in those guests that he really needed to bring in. If you don't see it, if you don't see it, I'm sorry. You lost. If you see it, you're awesome, Avram. You're awesome. You're up on the level of right there. You're getting up there, and soon we'll be at the Cana, and you'll be at the top level. He's bringing them up to certain levels. That was the entire test as much as the Cana. I don't know what the whole, how we're supposed to be on that level. Like, if you ever get to be the person who has a nevuah from God, hopefully we'll get up there. If you get that prophecy from God, I don't know if there's a mila in trying to pay attention to the physical world at the exact same time. That seems to be a very, very high level. Now, everybody knows the three Anashim were, who were the three Anashim? Where were they? Who were they?
Gabriel,
Michal, and Rebal. Who are we missing?
Uriel.
Very good. Some people call him Nuriel. Either one would have been a correct answer. You would have gotten your points. Uriel or Nuriel. Now, Gabriel, Michal, Raphael, and Uriel are the four malachim that are supposed to surround the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of God, the throne of glory up in Shemayim. Now, out of that throne of glory, each one of them has a side, and each one of them is supposed to surround the throne. When you learn Gemara, you're supposed to be surrounded by those malachim. That's Gabriel is the Gimel, Michal is the Mem, Raphael is the Resh, and Uriel is the Aleph. That's Gemara. That's what Gemara does. Gemara gives you the ability, unlike any other limud, it's able to give you this ability to be surrounded by those four malachim. What happened to Uriel here? It's not like there weren't four jobs. There were four jobs here. One of the malachim got doubled up. One of the malachim got doubled up. You have to heal Avram Avinu, you have to tell Sarai Meno about everything that was happening, you have to go save Lot, and you got to destroy Sidon. So here, God's like, right, you know, Michal, just do both. Or Raphael, go do both. Whichever one, there's Machlokas Tosfos. But just do both for me. You have a fourth malach. It's not like a Kaddish Baruch Hu is like, oh man, I gotta lose four here. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna have no one by the Kisei HaKavod. It's not like there's no one up there. It's not like you can't bring somebody down there. If there were three jobs, that's a different story. You have four jobs, you have four malachim by the Kisei HaKavod. Bring them all down. Why not have them all down here? So there is an answer. The Al-Kurvani says an unbelievable answer. First of all, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says that Uriel was by the Bris Ben Abasarim. He was the Malach by the Bris Ben Abasarim when he had that whole covenant with God and they had everything together and a Malach came down and told them everything that he was going to see in the future, everything that was going to happen to the Jews in the future, or the 400 years of Mitzrayim and all the future exiles and everything like that. That went down. That happened through the Malach Uriel. So Uriel already did his job. He told Avraham Avinu about what was going to happen in the future. Now we have a new job. Now it's a brand new thing. Uriel isn't all about that. Uriel is about certain things. His job is to be mavasser, the bad things that are going to happen. And he's not about all these things of saving load or doing this or doing that. That's not Uriel's job. It's just simply not what Uriel does. Okay, that's one answer. That's the Rabbeinu Bachai. It's a nice answer. Yaakov Ruvani says an awesome thing. Uriel was there. Uriel was there. And Uriel was the mavasser. He's the one that told Sarah that she's going to have a child. And that really we're mixing everything up. And Gabriel, Raphael, and Michal were the three men that came down. But the one that told over to Sarah that you're going to have a child was really a bas kol from Shemayim, and that was Uriel. And that was Uriel. Uriel came down and he said that one. He was the one who said it out loud.
Three people.
There were three men that came down. The bas kol was Uriel and Shemayim that said it out loud. Now, what happened
somebody
over
else,
here?
Somebody else told Avraham separately.
Oh yeah, that was before. That was before. That he was going to have a child and everything. Yeah, 100%. That was before. That was 100% before. But he did it incorrectly. Because he told it to Sarah and not to Avraham Avinu. It should have been that it was told directly to Avraham Avinu with Sarah Imenu overhearing it. But he didn't do it that way. He said, Ayeh Sarah Ishtecha, where is Sarah your wife? And he turned to her and he said exactly that. That's all Behu Acharav, and he was his behind was to Avraham Avinu according to one of the Pshatim. He went behind himself and turned the other way to go tell Sarah directly, or however it means, the Basko went directly to Sarah. And not directly to Avraham Avinu. Because of that, Uriel was punished, that he wasn't allowed back in Shemayim until he could fix up his sin. By telling somebody else that they were going to have a child, by telling another woman that she was going to have a child, and that woman would be Roy, would be more fitting than the guy, to be able that you have to tell her because she's better than the guy. You got to tell her and not her husband. Who was that? Anybody know? Give me another time when a Malach came down and told a mother, you're going to have a child. Shimshon, Shimshon's mother, by Eshes Manoach. When he came down to Eshes Manoach. Eshes Manoach deserved the nevuah. Nobody else did. Uriel's job was to come back and tell it over to Eshes Manoach, to tell over the wife of Manoach, you're going to have a child. That child is going to be Shimshon and everything. Was not allowed to come back to Shemayim. About 1,000 years, 1,200 years. He was not allowed back in Shemayim up until that point, and he wasn't allowed back inside until he went and told her. And as soon as he told her and it was done in the right way, then everything was all good. You know what the punishment was?
He couldn't do it wrong.
That's a good call also. It was just a boss call. Oh, very good. You see the punishments happen because Gabriel and Michal / Raphael, whoever went to Sodom, Michal and Raphael was a big machlokas who went, but Gabriel and the other malach that went to Sodom, they were punished as well. Says Yonas ben Uziel, when they said the words Mashchisim Anachnu, we are destroying the city, they should have said Hashem is going to destroy the city, not we. Who are you guys to say that? When they said that, Gabriel and whoever the other malach is, either Michal or Raphael, whoever it was, when they said that, immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what? Who do you think you guys are? And he wouldn't let them back up in Shemayim until Malachim Olim the Yordimbo, until Yaakov Yinu had his dream. And the Malachim Olim, the Malachim that were going up, were Gabriel and Michal / Raphael, whoever it was, going up to Shemayim because the end of the punishment was near. They went up and they said, you want to see the holiest Jew? Go down and go see Yaakov Yinu right now. And the Malachim went down. That was the Malachim Olim the Yordimbo, all because of Yaakov Avinu. That's what happens. We see these punishments exist.
Why did he get a worse punishment than those things?
Why did he get a worse? What's considered worse?
He had to be
there for longer, yeah. You're saying, right? Remember that Malachim are not exactly physical.
Right.
They don't go with time. So there's no such thing as, oh, they're there for a long time or there for a short time. It's just the point is you're not coming up. Just that word is like, and then Kielu, they just pass on to that time and then they go up. It's not like a physical thing where they have time or anything like that. I don't really know how to understand that, but whatever. Let's just understand it. But you have to figure something out. Wait a second, Malachim can sin? And by the way, it caused crazy things in Klal Yisrael because he had told it over to Sarah. That means the whole Besorah, the news that Yitzchak was going to be born, was told over to a woman, which means that Yitzchak was born with the neshama of an akeva, of a woman. Meaning Yitzchak's schus to be born was by telling it over to Sarah, and that schus brought it down into Yitzchak, made Yitzchak be born. It came from atzad de nukva, meaning there was a neshama of a female within Yitzchak's neshama. That was a major issue. They had to get rid of that neshama in order for Yitzchak to give birth. That's why he needed the akedah. Oh! You had to be okayed. You had to destroy that neshama de nekeva and bring about a neshama de zachar, neshama of a male being. And that's why after that, Avraham Avinu said, now it's time for him to get married. Because now he has the real neshama that he needed in order to come down. Yitzchak stands for what again? We know Avraham Avinu is chesed. Yitzchak is? Din, gvura, all these crazy bad things. You know what the difference is? Male and female. Male, masculine, is always chesed. Feminine is always din and gvura. I know that sounds like, what do you mean? The woman's always the nicest one, right? That's what they do to be metaking their problem. Deep down inside, they're the meanest people of all time. But on the outside, they fix themselves by being nice. We on the outside fix ourselves by being mean. We fix ourselves by saying we're naturally chesed oriented. Come on. We have to be mean in order to go. There's a lot more to it than just that, obviously. But the idea is behind it. The idea is that, and you have to obviously work it out a little bit more. But the whole idea was Yitzchak was born with Geburah, pure din, because it was given over to Sari Min, who was messed up. Who caused that mess up? Guess who? Oh, the Satan. No, not Uriah himself. The Satan was always behind it. The Satan's behind everything. He's behind everything at the time. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a whole plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Satan to go and tell that to Uriel so that Uriel would be Mevaser, that Shimshon was going to be that way, so that Shimshon could also be Mitzad Dinukva, Mitzad Din, and thus he would take Din up against the Plishtim, who are the Arelim, who are on the Satan's side, and destroy all the Plishtim. I know that sounds complicated, but that was the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing that to happen in order for Uriel to be able to go ahead and bring about Shimshon, and everything was going to be all good at the end. All the Plishtim were going to be destroyed. That was the idea of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the whole thing to happen. However, the Satan was about that, and the Satan also convinced Michal and Gabriel, or whoever, Gabriel and Raphael, whoever it was, to say Mashchisim and Achnu in order for them to be those Malachim who were going to have to stay down there so that there would be an open spot up in the Kisya Kavod and that he'd be able to try to get himself inside. Obviously, that didn't work. But that was the Satan's idea, to be able to get somebody in there and like, oh, Michal, Gabriel, and Raphael aren't here right now. Why don't you take my main man, Beelzebub? He's a good guy. My good guy. Take him up instead. Obviously, that didn't work. But the idea was for him to start infiltrating all of Shemayim in order to get his Tumah within Shemayim to be able to bring this about. The only time he was able to get the Malchim was when they became in physical form. I cannot explain this in full. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says there is something, a Levush, in order for a Malach to become physical, it's by having a Gashmi being around him. He surrounded himself with some type of a shell that looked like a human being, looked like an Adam, and that's thus he was able to become entwined in the physical. When you're entwined in the physical, the Satan rules. The Satan is able to control you. And the Satan is able to go inside you. And the Malachim weren't used to that. The same thing that happened to Shamchazai and Azoil in the beginning of operations when they came down and said, no, we'll be able to go down, but we're not going to be able to sin. As soon as they became physical, the Satan was able to make them sin and start going with the other woman and start murdering and start worshipping Avodah Zarah and all those things. Same thing happened to Gavriel, Michal, and Raphael. Not as extreme, because Avraham Avinu was around them. But if Avraham Avinu wasn't around them, if Avraham Avinu wouldn't have said hi, if he would have just sent them on their way, who knows what would have happened to these Malachim. Avraham might have even saved these Malachim by pulling them toward him. Just unbelievable things going on over here. How could they eat Basar V'Chalav? How did he eat Basar V'Chalav? He served them. Let's see what he did. Ve'ika Chema V'Chalav U'ben HaBakar Asherasa. He took butter, milk, and cattle, right? So, okay, fine. Let's say it was milk before meat. Isn't that a weird meal? Isn't that a weird meal? It's a strange meal. There's no bread.
Does it say how long we only do it once a year?
What?
We only do it once a year.
Yeah, seriously. And even then, you don't do it in the same thing. I'm sorry.
Does it say how long the meal lasted?
It does not. So you want to say it's a really long meal? So it's a really long meal. So there is an opinion that's out there that says that he purposely served the milk first because that's the easiest to get there. Ben Bucker, it's going to take a while. You got to shecht it. You got to go ahead and take the tongue. You got to cook it. By the time you bring that out, the guy's like, yeah, you're sitting there like, you know, I just passed out of hunger. You know, so he brought them first milk and stuff, and then afterward he prepared them fresh meat for them to be able to have, for them to have meat right then. That's a great answer that is broad. However, there are two other really good answers. Number one, each one of these things was given to one of the malachim. Each one of them represented the job that malach had to do. For example, Gavriel was supposed to destroy Sodom. He gave him the ben bakar, which is shecht. The same way you're shechting Sodom, you get the ben bakar, you get the meat, you get the din that's going to happen. For the one that was Mivasar Sara for Michael, that was Mivasar Sara that told Sara that you're going to have a child, he gave her milk. Gave him milk. Because the milk stands for the milk of a mother to give over to the baby. And for the one that said, oh, you're going to be healing Avram and saving Lot, they gave him butter. What do we know is a healing agent? It's something that's all smooth and everything like that. You're going to be the guy, the smooth guy who's able to control, to rub out the wounds, and everything's going to be okay, and taking away Lot and be able to save Lot and everything like that. Those are the three. But the time in Adam says, then the Gemara and Shabbos Pei Zayin Mabez, this is Mamash Atayin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. He went up to Shemayim, and he went to Shemayim, and he said, I want to get the Torah for Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael wants to have the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu turned to the Malachim and said, what do you guys say? The Malachim said, no, my enosh kisis kerenu. Why should he give it over to man? So he turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, answer them. What do you want to say? He said, you guys were down there for about 5 seconds and you ate milk and meat together. You went against the Torah. So obviously we're able to do it. You guys aren't able to do it. How could it possibly be? How could you go against your own thing? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had a taina on the Malachim. And they're all like, oh, good one. You don't think they knew that they ate milk before fleshiks? You don't think they could have answered that? You don't think they could have said like, oh, but wait, wasn't it milk before fleshiks? First of all, it tells you there are no good excuses in this world. That's number one. But number two, what was the taina? The Belzer Rebbe. Belzer Rebbe says, unbelievable. The first Belzer Rebbe, the Sarmi Bell, says an awesome answer. He says, you know why it's mutter to have milk before meat? Why is that mutter? Some people hold, by the way, there are Rishonim that hold that you have to wait 6 hours between milk and meat. We don't hold that way. Some people hold it by hard cheese, gvina kasha. Some people do that by pizza. After having pizza, some people say you shouldn't have meat for 6 hours because it sticks in your teeth and you have the taste in your mouth for a long time. Some people hold that way, but we don't. We hold that it's immediately after. Why? The idea is like this. What happens when you have milk before meat? What goes in your stomach? On the bottom there's milk, and on the top there's meat. On the other hand, if you have meat before milk, then on the bottom there's meat, and on the top there's milk. Now there's a concept when you have two pots together, something called illa gavar or tasa gavar. What heats up the other thing? So for example, you'll just know that when you go through Yoredeya, you know these things. When you have two pots, one is boiling hot, the other is not. The other is cold. And one is fleishiks and one is milchiks. Does it destroy the other pot? So it depends. What was on the bottom? What was on top? So there's two opinions. One says ilo gemar. The one on top is the controlling one. If the one on top is boiling, it makes the bottom one really, really hot. And therefore, it can make the bottom one not kosher. But if you hold tasagvar, then it holds the bottom one is the ikar. If the bottom one is hot, then it affects the top one, and it makes the top one really hot, and it makes that tray. And obviously, and vice versa, right? If you hold tasa gvar and the top one is hot, then it's fine. Because tasa gvar, the bottom one isn't going to get affected. But if you hold ila gvar and the bottom one is hot, then ila gvar, no problem, right? If you're on earth, if you're a person, you hold tasa gvar. We hold the bottom is the ikar. Between us and the malachim, who's the ikar of the world? We're the ikar of the world, right? We believe that we're the ikar behind the world. So we hold tasa gvar. We hold the bottom is the ikar. So what you want on the bottom is chesed. Milk is chesed. The top is din. So you want milk on the bottom and meat on top. But by the malachim, they hold the opposite. The malachim hold ila gavar. They hold the upwards on top here. That's the ikar. So what they have to do, if they want chesed on top, is they got to eat meat first and then have milk. So what he did, says this Rashmi Bell, the Starmi Bell said, is he served them milk before meat. Said the malachim, wait a second, you're allowed to have milk before meat. Said Abba, said Moshe Rabbeinu, you're only allowed to have milk before meat if you hold tasa gavar. So that means you hold that the ikar is on the bottom. So we're the ikar, so you got to give us the Torah. So if you hold you did an avera, you don't deserve the Torah. If you hold you didn't do an avera, that means you hold like us. So we should get the Torah, because we're the ikar. That's what he told them. Is that an unbelievable claim? That's a good claim. That's a good claim. Okay, that's one. That's one thing over here. Another thing that you have to get into is, did they make any brachos? Did they make brachos while they were sitting there with Avram? We know that Avram used to teach them how to make brachos to Hashem, to be able to bless God when they were there. And there's midrashim all over the place. Well, that's going to be another question. There's going to be we know that there are brachos all over the place. And he used to tell them, who should you bless? Go bless God, because God is the one that gave us all this stuff. And the people used to make these brachos. Now, I understand. If he said that, if he thought they were malachim, it's a different story. But if he didn't think they were malachim, if he thought they were mamish anashim, if he thought they were men, and there are opinions that say that, then he thought they were real people. So he had to make them make a bracha, right? So they had to make brachos. They were like Arabs. They dressed up as Arabs, right? They were supposed to be like Arabs, but he made them all make brachos. That's what the Medrash says. He made them all make brachos. So did he make these guys make brachas? And if he did make them make brachas, Malcolm can't eat. Did they eat? If he felt they were men, but they weren't men, so they didn't really eat, what they did was, according to the Medrash, they blew fire on it and burned it up. And it went up to Shemayim. So is that a bracha batal? Are you allowed to make a bracha? Is that a real bracha or not? So did he make them make brachas? If he told them, all right, guys, make a bracha. Repeat after me. Baruch atah. Then were they like saying, like, no. Like, oh, we're not going to do it. But then he wouldn't give them the food, according to the Medrash. He wouldn't give them food unless they made a bracha first. So how could he possibly give it to them? And I'll give you even a raya that they did make brachas, because it says in the Gemara and Bava Metzia on Pei Zayin and Aleph that they sent to Sarah the kosher bracha. The kosher bracha, meaning the benching cup. You know, after you make hamosi, I don't know who made hamotzi. It's a little strange over there. The marshal says it was Michael. They didn't eat any bread. They didn't have any bread here. But somehow they made hamotzi. They sent over the bracha and they gave it over there. What were you looking at?
From the Gola Kikar. My father etarim kelvet Gola Kikar. And then he talks about the Tzemach Adama. Oh, wait.
What are you talking about?
Take it back.
Take it all back. Take it all back. What? He did. But what happened was she was Poris Nida, and they weren't able to serve the bread. They didn't end up serving bread. So it wasn't that. But whatever, according to however you say that there was a kosher bracha, but they did definitely have a bracha over here. So how'd they make brachas? So there's a lot of great stuff that's happening over here. I have this opinion, and I think it's the most unbelievable thing in the world. Avram himself had the suffix. He wasn't so sure whether they were malachim or whether they were anachim. He's sitting there like, what are these guys doing out here? I saw them in the middle of the Nebuah. Something weird is going on here. He had a suffix. He wasn't sure if they were anachim or if they were malachim. So therefore, he did something in which you can get out of the suffix completely. He wanted to serve bread, but then he's like, wait a second, what if, etc. So he didn't want to have to deal with the bread. Instead, he gave them three foods. Chema, chalav, and basar. What bracha did he make on all three of those?
Shahakol.
How did the malachim consume the food? There's a pshat that they use it through reach. The only thing that malachim have is they have a very heightened sense of reach. Smell, the sense of smell, is the only organ of our body that doesn't deal with something physical. Smell is not something physical. You cannot see smells. Sometimes you wish you could, so you'd be able to always know where that smell is coming from, but you can't see smells whatsoever. It's a spiritual sort of thing. Malachim used those smells. They smelled the stuff, and they were able to consume it, so to speak, and bring it up to Shemayim. Here's the halakha. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down b'dieved. if you make a shahakol on something that you smell, you're yotze. You're yotze. You can make a shahakol on something you smell and you're yotze. So what he did was, he gave them three things which were all the bracha of shahakol. So they would make a shahakol. If there were real people, they'd make a shahakol, they'd eat it, they were fine. If they were malachim and they were smelling it, they'd make a shahakol, they smelled it, they were fine. So, no matter what they did, they'd be fine. But yeah, they were yotze no matter what they did. So he told them, gave them these three things and told them to make the bracha of shahakol. How they have a kosher bracha, I have no idea.
So why did
I don't know how they had bread.
Why did he try to make bread or matzah
it might be,
or whatever.
He was thinking as he was bringing it out, and he decided, I'm going to go ahead and bring it out. You know what? Yeah, it's machlokas if it's Pesach or it's Yom Kippur. We're actually going to talk about that very soon. But yes, it's machlokas if it was. And if it was Pesach, was he going to bring? That's actually the Ramban, I think, that says. The Ramban says that he was going to bring out bread, but the reason why he didn't bring it out in the end is because it was Pesach, and he had to worry that it wasn't matzah, and that he had made the bread, but then he realized it was already past Chatzos, an Erev Pesach, and he knew he couldn't give them and give it to him and give it to them in time, so therefore he had to throw away the bread and he could only bring them the stuff.
Didn't she make matzah though? Didn't she made matzah?
No, later on, Lot is the one that made matzahs. Although there is a time in Hagam that says, Lushi Vasiu Gos, that he told Sarah, knead and make bread. All of a sudden he's like, should I tell you how to make bread? Knead it first. So I was like, oh, that's why my bread always comes out like cake. I couldn't figure that out. No, the pshat is, Lushi Vasiu Gos, is keep moving your hands in the bread because it's got to be matzah. And matzah, you always got to move around. You can never let it stay still because it might be machmitz. So you got to keep moving it around. So he's telling her, come on, make the matzah and make sure that it doesn't dry up, especially with these guys. These guys are going to need the matzah. You know, that's the idea. And Vade Lot had the matzah. But yeah.
Now you have me wanting to ask about the opinion that she...
Wait, what were we saying?
This has to do with the Israel Exodus, right?
Right. Oh, of course, yeah. So what are the elbows doing? Don't worry. There's always something going on here. Just know. You know what? Maybe we'll talk about it when Yaakov and Esav went to Yitzchak. That night happened to be the night of the Seder. And they were doing all the stuff of the Seder. That's why they brought over the Shnei Gedim, the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Chagiga. That's why the wine and everything. There was two cups of wine that he was drinking, and that's the whole Shvoch HaMoscha thing. He opened up the door, and Esav walked in. He was opening up for Eliyahu HaNavi. All of a sudden, Esav walked in. He's like, you know, behind. We'll talk about it over there. What were they keeping Pesach for? It never happened yet. We'll talk about it. Talk about rice with Bari Alma.
It didn't carry on in generation.
Who says it didn't? You say it didn't. I say it did. I'll talk about that also. Yes.
What?
Yes. They had a Pesach Mitzrayim. What if you think, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. All right. What is Sarah laughing for? The Malachim go ahead and say, you're going to have a child. Sarah's like, that's going to happen. What the? Sarah, come on! And it's not like she's not a tzaddikus. Even if she thought they were an usher, you're gonna, somebody blesses you with children, you're just like, yeah, sure. Somebody gives you a bracha. And you have guests over at your house. The guests are like, wow, that was a great meal, Sarah. Thank you so much. I bless you that you should be rich. Yeah, well, like, that's gonna happen. Like, when you do that, you wouldn't do it, Paul. Sorry, Mano's gonna do it. Well, maybe you would do it, but you're a jerk. Sorry, Mano's not gonna do it.
And why in the world would it be? There's an opinion that the reason that they didn't get the bread that she was kneading was because she came Nita while she was doing it.
Exactly, she went into Nita, like we just said. She just saw that something crazy was happening. What's going on over here? What in the world is going on? So now, there are answers. Everybody says these answers over here. I'm not going to go into them. I'm going to tell you three answers. Nitzutei Shimshon says an unbelievable thing. The Nitzutei Shimshon says, let's look at the wording over here. She said, how is it possible for me to have a child? She laughed at herself saying, after, look how old I am. Now I'm going to be all young and fine. Badoni Zakein. My master is old. Now, you got to wonder. She's complaining about Avram. Avram just gave birth to a kid. Yishmael was born not too long ago. It's not like Avram's the problem over here. Sarah is the one who's an islandess who had no signs as being a woman. She didn't have the signs of a woman according to Gemara and Yevamos and Samach Dalam. She's the one that's off over here. She didn't even have a womb. It's not like Avram Avinu was the problem over here. It was obviously Sarah. As soon as Avram Avinu went with Hagar, there was one kid who they miscarried and immediately another kid in Yishmael. So what in the world is going on there? She said, she's blaming it on Avram Avinu. Avram is not that bad. Avram's not that bad. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says she was an islandess, which means that she didn't have the ability to have children. She didn't have the signs of a woman. In other words, her body was not exactly like a woman's body. It wasn't like a woman's body. So obviously she had the kelim to do so, but things were missing. There were things that were wrong. So what in the world does she complain about? Don't he's okay. Nitzutei Shimshon says, when you get a nevuah and you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu opposite you. I mean, whatever your life like, that's what Hashem is opposite you. If you're a younger guy, Hashem will appear to you as younger. If you're a woman, Hashem will appear to you as a woman. If you're an older guy, Hashem will appear to you as older. Sari Imenu saw Kadosh Baruch Hu old in a Nevuah. She saw him old. And she saw an older person standing opposite him. So even though she just had Mida and all these things, she looked at her, looked at the Nevuah and said, Acharei Velosi, after all that, look at me. I'm still old. I see by my Nevuah, now I'm going to become young. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still old, I can't be young. Adoni Zakein, look at my master. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is old. She's not talking about Avraham Avinu. She's saying Adoni Zakein. That's why Hashem said back. Hashem didn't lie. I know the Gemara said he changed the Lashon around so that Avraham wouldn't think the other way. He said, literally, can I really give birth? Vani zakanti, says Hashem, and I am old. I appear to as if I'm old. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you think that's not possible? You don't think I can make a person who's old give birth? How could that be? Why would Sarah be Tzitzachik Bekirba? Sarah thought, okay, it's regular people are telling me I'm going to have a kid, but I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu opposite me and I see him still old, so it's not going to be possible for me to have a kid. Why would they give me a bracha like that if they know that that's a bad bracha? Because they see me and I'm look very, very old. Says a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you think that's an excuse? What do you mean? Of course I can make that happen. And that's why Avraham Avinu went up to her and said, no, why did you laugh, Sarah? And she lied and she said, Lo Tzachakti, I didn't laugh in that way. I didn't laugh that a Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't bring it about. I'm saying that these guys are going to give me a bracha. That's a ridiculous bracha. Why would they ever give me that bracha? To which Avram said, no, you laughed. Loki tzachom. No matter how much you say, Sari Menu, you're on a level where that is considered a chisaron and emunah. That's lacking in a bit of faith in God. That's a big problem in your part, and you're going to be blamed for that. That's number one. Our second answer, also an awesome answer. You notice in the pasuk it says Behu Acharav. When they were standing there, it says Behu Acharav. Sarah was listening behind the oil. Behu Acharav. The way we said it before was that the Malach turned around and faced Sari Menu instead of Avraham Avinu. Behu Acharav. That Avraham Avinu was behind. The Yonas of Nizil says Yishmael was behind the Malach. Why do we care about that? Who cares where Yishmael was? You know what happened? What happened to Yishmael's older brother? Yishmael's older brother died in the womb because what happened? It says Rashi, Sari Menu made her miscarry by giving her an Ayin Hara, by giving Hagar an Ayin Hara. When she saw the Malach turning to Sarah and saying, you're going to have a child, she saw Yishmael right behind the Malach giving her an Ayin Hara, putting an Ayin Hara on Sarah. So what she did was something very smart. She pretended not to believe in it. She pretended on the outside to say, that's never going to happen. So that Yishmael's Ayin Hara wouldn't work. Yishmael's Ayin Hara would be knocked out. It's as if he did nothing. So she purposely laughed to look at him. And that's why when Avraham Avinu came later on and said, Sarah, why do you laugh? Sarah denied it and said, well, Tachakti, I didn't really laugh. I only did it to get rid of Yishmael. To which Avraham said, Lo Kitzachok, you did laugh. As much as you say, well, I did in order to get Yishmael, it looked on the outside that you denied the word of God. And that's terrible. You should have believed that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would get rid of the Ayin Hara. You don't have to worry about that Ayin Hara. You didn't believe in that? You're in trouble for that. That's what you're going to be in trouble for. That's the second answer. I like that answer a lot. It's from the Megid Yosef. From the Megid Yosef, originally told to me, I think, by Michael Wiesenberg, Nicole Wiesenberg. There's a Chassam Sofer that also says, this machlok is when the Malachim came. I think somebody said this before. How long were the Malachim there? Was that you, Joey? How long were the Malachim there for? How long were the Malachim over there for? Some say that they were there from Pesach until Tishrei, and they stayed for 6 months. It sounds in the Pesukim they were there for 10 minutes. You know, like, hey, you want some milk? Yeah, the meat? Okay, we're good. All right, we're out. See you later. We're all done. But this took place over a period of 6 months. So what happened was the promise was given in Pesach. They were about to leave during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time to judge Sidon. That's where they were going. They were going now, but they originally went on Pesach. But then they went and they left when it came Yom Kippur time. At that time, Sarah looked at herself and realized, I'm not pregnant yet. And it's another 6 months until Pesach. There's no way I'm going to have a kid. And that's when the Tzitzchak Sarah Bekirbo. That's when she laughed at herself and said, there's no way I'm going to have a kid. They promised me a child a year from now, which was on Pesach, but I'm not going to give birth. I have only another 6 months left. There's no way I'm going to be able to give birth. That's Sachat. That's when she left. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to her, don't think that anything's impossible from you. And she had a kid 6 months and 1 day later. 6 months and 1 day later. And that's the whole thing, that she was Nifgat in Rosh Hashanah. That was the idea behind it. All right. That was all that. Hiding Sarah. What time we got? Okay, we have another 7 minutes. Let's go. Hiding Sarah. When they came to Avimelech, one of the strangest things, we know this happened before with Paro. You'd think if you're going to mention something really crazy, like they put Sarah in a box and lied about her that she's his sister, even though Avram says it really is my sister because B'nai Banim are Kabanim, grandsons are like children, and therefore it says if it's my, it's my sister because she's my niece and whatever, like all these things, whatever, but it's still stretching the truth a little bit. Do you think, like, once we'll write it in the Torah, they tell that Avram did something wrong. Twice? You could write it again? Why would you write it again? Why do it again? What was the point? It didn't work the first time. First time it didn't work. With Paro, it was a big, big failure. There was no success in that. I mean, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a crazy miracle. But you're going to rely on another miracle over here? What in the world is going on with Avram that he goes down there? So there are some great answers. The Rabbeinu Hananel says he divorced her. He mamash divorced her. He gave her a gerushin. So some say that that just means by B'nai Noach, there's no such thing as writing up a gerushin. You don't have to write up a get or anything else. What you have to do is you just say, I'm separating from you. And that's good enough that that counts as a get. That's one way of looking at it. But there are other ways. And the other way of looking at it is...
But then if you're going to get, you can't remarry the same person then.
You can as long as that person doesn't marry anybody else in between. So what he was willing to do is his Avi Melech takes her. Okay, fine. There's nothing I can do about it. He said to Sarah, let's just divorce so we don't have to worry about any problems that there are by Avi Melech. But I have an awesome answer. Awesome answer. We say the Rabbi Chaya Sarah. It says she was Kibas Chof Kibas Zayin. When she was 20 years old, she looked like she was 7. And it says Liyofi when it came to beauty. Has anybody seen a 7-year-old? Seen a 7-year-old, right? Cute is a good term that I would use to describe a 7-year-old. Beautiful? I think a 20-year-old has that term a little bit better than a 7-year-old, don't you think? Like, if I'm going for beautiful, and I got a 7-year-old in front of me and a 20-year-old in front of me, unless I'm a certain person that we don't want to say their names in the middle of a base medrash, I'm not going to pick the 7-year-old. I'm going to pick the 20-year-old. So what in the world is the point of Avraham Avinu saying that, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, she's Kibas Chof Kibas Zayin Lo Yofi. So remember what we said before, Sarah was an islandess. Sarah was an islandess means she does not have the body of an older woman. She has the body of a younger woman, of a woman before she reaches the age of 12. She had the body of a person that does not look like she's an older person. And at this point, she had already changed back from her older stage to looking like a younger woman. She looked like a very young little girl, right? Now, think about that for now. Sarah Imenu looks like a little girl. She doesn't have the body of a woman. She doesn't have the face of an older woman. She doesn't look like either one. She doesn't look like either one. He's going down to Avimelech and the police station. Now, let's say they would have said to her, oh, who is this? So he would have said, what? If you wanted to tell the truth, it's my wife, right? I said, you're like 100 years old. What are you doing together with a 7-year-old? Why in the world are you married to a 7-year-old? So what's he going to say? She's not really 7. She's really 90.
She's my daughter.
All of them would have said, this is the most, that's the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard before in our lives. There's no way that's your wife. At that point, then they could say, we even have an excuse to go ahead and kill you and take this woman away from you. Not because she's so beautiful. She has such potential to be an unbelievably beautiful person. They think she's 7 years old. We're going to take her away from you and we're going to kill you, Avram Avinu, for lying to us because we know you're lying. That's what Avram was afraid of. He was afraid of telling the truth because telling the truth is going to look like a lie. No matter how you look at it, that would give them an excuse to kill him. So what did he have to do? He had to say something that was stretching the truth a little bit. He couldn't tell them the straight out truth. So he had to say, she's my sister. She's my sister. And hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do something for him to be able to make sure that nothing bad was going to happen. Because he couldn't tell the truth. Yeah.
This is why when she was 100, she looks like she was 20. So if, by this time, she probably looked more like she was...
No. If 120 was B'lichet. When it says Bas Kof, Kibas Chof, and that Rashi says b'lichet, that she was like a 20-year-old regarding chatoim.
Why would you say that she still looks like a 7-year-old though? If it only says
you have to ask.
Because she still, the beauty was still as a 7-year-old. The chait was as a 20-year-old. The beauty was as a 7-year-old. That's how Rashi describes it. So if she's as a 7-year-old. It did.
Now the sister thing.
It did. It's just not the point. It's not. It's kuf to chaf and chaf to zayin. So she's kuf to chaf and chaf to zayin. That means even at kuf, she was like zayin the whole time. She was always like she was a 7-year-old in beauty. She's always like a 20-year-old when it came to chait. Didn't matter. It's not like kuf to zayin. That didn't work. That's not how it went.
The sister thing shouldn't have worked either. Who can have two children that are 93 years apart? 83 years apart? 93.
It's still possible. It's more possible than saying this is his wife. And that seems a little bit less likely. To say it's my sister and my father married another person or whatever it is and had a child and that my both my parents died and something happened, that's possible. But something else, it seems a little weird. Yeah. We have to do it.
Why didn't he just embellish and say that she's my relative?
Just say my relative. That's basically what he did.